On his trip into the Egyptian desert, Frank Chandler has learned that Robert Regent has gone to Singapore, but that he is not a prisoner. Dorothy decides to sail for home, stopping en route at Singapore. But suddenly the psychic summons is heard, and looking into the crystal, Chandler and the Regent see a clearing in a tropical jungle. Emerging from a forest path, confronted by natives who brandish long knives, is Robert Regent.
Chandu, the magician.
Oh, look, Frank, look. It is Robert.
I know it is, Doc.
Gee, what do you suppose that place is? Look how thick the trees are.
Oh, Uncle Frank, those natives are going closer and closer to Father. He's got big, long knives.
Let's listen and see if we can hear what they say.
Not a sound. Look at that biggest native there. Gee, he looks like he's... Look at him sneak up closer and closer to Father. Look, Uncle Frank.
I am.
Oh, Frank, how would Robert get to such a place, and what do you suppose he's doing there? I can't bear to sit here and look at him being killed right before our eyes.
Yeah, and all the time he's thousands and thousands of miles away, and we can't do anything. That's what burns me up.
Listen, all of you. I'm going to try an experiment I've only been able to do twice in all these years. Even now, I don't know whether I'll be successful.
You mean you're going to try to magic them from here, Uncle Frank?
Oh, hush, dear.
Oh, Yogi, my teacher, far across the sea, I ask your help.
Oh, you must help, Robert Frank. You must. Look at those terrible natives. I don't see why Father doesn't run away. Why does he have to stand there?
He'd have no chance. He wouldn't go 10 feet before they'd drag him back. If I can reach them at all, it will have to be through their fear.
Cobra, king of the jungle, come from your hiding place. Come out, I say, King Cobra, that life may be saved.
Look, there it is, coiled up right in front of Father. See it?
Can you beat that? It's right between Father and those natives. He's looking them right in the eye.
Look how scared they are. They stop. They're kneeling right down on the ground. And their faces right in the dirt.
It doesn't look as though he sees the cobra at all, does he? He's looking at those natives. Well, look. He's walking right by the cobra.
Oh, I can't believe it. Where is he going? Why would he wouldn't touch those natives?
Listen, Doc. Listen. I think I can hear him speaking.
Answer me. Answer me. Where is she? Where's the white girl? Get up. What are you afraid of? What's the matter? Will you tell me where she is? I'll see for myself.
You're going to look in those huts. Dear, I wish he would.
Wonder why there might be anything in there.
Well, if he's looking for somebody, he has to look, doesn't he? There's only three of those huts. It won't take him long. Look, there he goes into the first one.
Oh, heavens. No, he isn't, Mother. He's just going to the door while you look in. Must have been empty. Coming back down the ladder. There he goes to the next one.
Yeah. And look. Fellows haven't moved. They're still crouched right where they were, and the cobra's still there, too.
He's coming down. Why would you get away from there?
There he goes. And that's the last one. Look, he's standing right in the doorway, looking inside the hut.
Oh, what can he see in there? There, he's coming back. He's talking to those natives.
I've looked around, and I see she's not here. Or at least, she's not where I can find her. But the next time I come back, I won't be alone. Remember that.
Oh! He walked right over that cobra. He didn't see it. He's going right back down the path. He's gone.
Yeah. And the picture's gone, too. Now, Uncle Frank, where do you suppose that could have been?
Oh, Uncle Frank, you're wonderful. You really are.
Yes, Frank. That's the most wonderful thing you've ever done.
Where is that place, do you suppose, Uncle Frank?
I don't know, Bob. The thing that concerns me is the identity of the girl he was looking for.
Why, Frank, how strange that sounded. You don't mean you think you know who she is.
I wonder.
What do you mean, Uncle Frank?
Do you suppose suppose that was in Singapore, Uncle Frank?
Oh, no. There's nothing like that in Singapore. Singapore's a city. There's an enormous harbor there, always filled with ships from every part of the world. The streets are full of motor cars.
Oh, Uncle Frank, you spoil it all. You make it sound just like New York.
Oh, it's far from that. There are thousands of Chinese and Hindus and Arabs.
Arabs?
Yes. There's one street that's called Arab Street that looks almost like one of those busy streets in Cairo.
You're just saying all this to keep me from thinking of Robert, Frank. But
now, Dorothy, you could see for yourself Robert isn't a prisoner. He's free to come and go as he likes.
Oh, yes.
But you mustn't worry about him. I told you I felt sure he'd gone there of his own accord.
Oh, I know you did. But I still can't see why he would go there without sending any word to me when he knew I thought he was in Paris. I haven't heard one word from him since we left Montebania.
Well, yes, you have, too. He called you up from Bayonne.
Really was Father that called, huh?
I've been so sure about that all this time. But now, I don't know.
Dorothy, did it ever occur to you that Robert might have called you back again that same night?
You mean after we'd left the hotel for the railway station?
Yes. Your telephone call was interrupted when he was talking to you, wasn't it?
Yes. He was trying to tell me where he was. You mean you think he might have called me again that night and I wasn't there?
Oh, how could I have been so stupid as to rush off from Paris to Bayonne until I'd heard from him again?
But, Mother, you know he's all right now. You saw him not 1 minute ago, and there are probably a dozen letters chasing you all over the place from Paris to Bayonne, and from Bayonne to Cairo, and from Cairo, and telling where they'll go if they don't catch up with you before we leave for Singapore.
You still think we should go with you to Singapore, Frank?
Yes.
Well, what are you going to do there, Uncle Frank? I mean, besides look for Father.
I have business there.
Secret business?
Well, yes.
You're not still looking for those papers of Father's, are you, Uncle Frank?
I'm always looking for them, Bob.
You are? Well, that's one thing you won't have to worry about anymore, isn't it?
Why?
Because Arrhenia gave him to Mother with that spider, or whatever it was inside.
Frank, do you think whatever writing is on those sheets of paper will be destroyed by dropping the envelope in boiling water, as you told Abu to do?
Oh, wasn't that terrible for Arrhenia to come here and... He was really trying to persuade Mother to open that envelope so the spider would bite her, wasn't he? Isn't he awful?
Yeah, that's an old trick of his, too. Remember how that dancing girl told us he sent the spider to the girl he was crazy about that wouldn't look at him?
Oh, yes. Uncle Frank, do you think the writing will all be boiled off of those papers?
Perhaps not. But we'll destroy the papers, even if they're legible. Your father wanted them destroyed, you know. They're certainly too dangerous to carry about with us. Suppose we see if we can read them. Abu, did you drop that envelope in boiling water as I told you?
I was, Pending.
Do you suppose you could bring it here without tearing it open?
I will bring it in 1 moment.
I hope that spider's good and dead.
Oh, don't be silly. How could he help being dead when he was dropped in boiling water?
Where do you suppose Arrhenia gets all these poisonous spiders he goes around sending to people, Uncle Frank?
Oh, he's always traveling through these countries that border the Mediterranean. And he probably knows many places where they can be caught.
Oh, there's Abu.
Mother, doesn't he look funny? He reminds you of an old book or something. Durban enters burying a spider on a silver salver.
Thank you, Abu. That's all.
Frank, be careful.
Well, we needn't worry about any spider that's in here.
Oh, how creepy the envelope is.
I'll tear it open. I'll shake it over this little tray, and we'll have a look at the spider.
Oh, isn't he terrible looking?
Gee. Why, his body must be 2 inches wide.
Look at his horrible legs. Oh, hairy.
Oh, my heavens. Let Abu take it away.
Gee, I don't know, Mother. Make a swell specimen for my collection.
No, indeed. You're not going to carry that dead spider with you to Singapore and clear across the Pacific Ocean. You must draw the line somewhere.
Well, all right.
Have you your knife, Bob?
Sure, why?
I want to cut the envelope away from around the papers inside. I'm afraid they'll tear if I try to take them off now.
Here it is. Wait, I'll open it. There.
Thank you. I'll just cut the sides down like this. There, you see?
Is there anything on the paper?
Not a thing.
Oh, let me see them.
Better come over here where they won't drip on the carpet. They're still pretty wet.
Not one word. But what about the name at the top? What about that, Frank?
What name?
Why, Arrhenia told me. He said, that is why I believed him and told him I'd pay him for the paper. He said at the top of each sheet was Robert Regent, Beverly Hills, California.
He did?
Yes.
Yes, he did, Uncle Frank.
You know, Robert had those letterheads made years ago. Do you suppose it could be possible that boiling water would destroy the printing at the top of the sheet?
No, of course not.
But how could Arrhenia know about the printing and exactly what it said?
He must have seen the originals. He probably has them himself, hidden away somewhere. He just brought these blank sheets of paper here to play this trick on you.
But I thought Arrhenia worked for Roxar.
He does. But he's trying to pick up a little money on the side by selling these papers to us, don't you see?
Of course, Roxar doesn't know he has them.
Of course not. Roxar's told me a dozen times. And he must have told his own men hundreds of times. that the Regent's secret is the only thing he needs in order to hold the world in his hand like an apple.
But I should think Arrhenius would be afraid of Roxas. I should think...
Just a minute, Betty. What is it, Abu?
Jandu, there is a messenger who has a letter for you. He speaks no English.
Ask him to give you the letter, Abu.
Oh, no. It might be from Arrhenius with another spider in it or something. Don't even look at it. I wouldn't if I were you.
Who does he say sent him here, Abu?
He asked if you know one whose name is Nicholas.
Nicholas?
I was, Sandy. The note is from Alexandria, and it's to be delivered by him to you and none other.
Ask him to come in.
You have to answer, Mahmoud. You faster coward. Why do you stand there staring like a coward? That is the Effendi Chandler. Give him the letter.
Thank you, Mahmoud. Here's some money for you.
Money? He's so pathetic. I feel sorry for him.
Yeah, you would.
It is Tavala the Effendi.
Well, let's see what Nicholas has to say.
What is it, Frank? Has anything happened to Nicholas?
No. He says he heard two natives talking about Dimitri in one of those cafes in the native quarter, where he was whiling away an hour or two before the ship sailed. They said they'd just learned that Dimitri had been taken to prison in France, and that I had ordered it done.
Well, I'm glad they found out you did it, Uncle Frank.
But listen to the rest of it. I'll read it to you. They were chuckling over something that at first I couldn't understand. But then I heard them say that Mr. Regent had been lured to a strange, forgotten island off the coast of Sumatra.